This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Jasmine Garcia.
Well, about a year ago, Lisa, you might remember, you were on the Shop Talk panel at that time. We talked about Newsweek, which was dropping its print edition. Well, Newsweek has just recently announced it's bringing back its print edition, Lisa.
Yeah, that's completely reversing course. It's found it's not making money as a digital-only magazine, so it's hoping that it will subsidize its revenue or, in fact, make, I think, most of its money from having a print subscription again. And their initial goal is to bring it up to 100,000, which is quite a bit smaller than its old than it was in its heyday.
Well, there's 100,000 doctor's offices out there that subscribe, I'm sure will subscribe to it. So you've got some reading material in the waiting room. But this is, you know, we talk so much about everything going digital. Everything's going to the web and social media, and we talk about that quite a bit on this program. And yet here we're finding Newsweek cannot make it simply being a digital publication, that it has to go back to the old ways of doing things to try and bring in more revenue.
Yeah, and I think that's saying to us that print is not, in fact, dead. And a lot of people have been saying, oh, well, print is dead. Now you've got to move to the web. Yeah, we need to move to the web, but I think maybe that teaches us to make the web supplementary. We put maybe content on the web that adds to what we are already publishing in print to keep both alive. I think that's necessary. I think there's going to be a lot of learning pains. I mean, there's going to be a lot of growing pains for the industry, for the media industry. And I think newspapers discovering that, yeah, print is not necessarily dead. And I actually am happy about that.
Me too, as a print veteran. And I think there's always been a contingent of print journalists who have maintained that print will never die completely, and that what we're going to see are more and more hybrids like this, where you have a digital site and a print publication for these legacy publications. And this article that we read before our discussion today in the Columbia Journalism Review noted that Advanced Publications, the owner of the New Orleans paper, tried going to a digital-only format and then brought back its print publication after a competitor started up another paper in New Orleans. So that seems to be the only way that print publications can make money is with the hybrid and not digital only.
You know, you just mentioned legacy media. We're talking about organizations that have been around a long time, and perhaps they need to continue to do things the way they did in the past, along with having that digital presence. Whereas perhaps someone new who's starting up, it might be hard to start a print magazine right now. Mm-hmm. But if you were to do that new magazine online, you might be able to make a go of it. What do you think?
You might be able to make a go of it, but still, it's still really hard to make money online. Now, there have been some successes like Andrew Sullivan's blog, The Dish, now charges subscriptions for that and is so far making a profit. And he doesn't have a print publication. So there are a few places like that. But unless you're subsidized by some kind of nonprofit organization or maybe subscriptions, it's not possible with only ads, which used to be the model for mm-hmm. print, was mostly ads.
Well, you would get subscriptions, but it wouldn't really account for much, even with newspapers. I mean, newspapers were really paid for with the advertising, correct?
Right. The ads were as much as 80% of the income, but you need the subscriptions and the subscribers to attract the advertisers. You need that audience. The subscriptions are, you're right, used to be a small part of the revenue. Now that's changing. The New York Times now gets most of its revenue from subscriptions rather than ads.
Yes, that's pretty interesting. It really is. I mean, they're getting more revenue from the readers, and that's something that we really haven't seen before. So, I mean, and in this article, we also talk about The Economist's sister publication, the Financial Times, and they say that they've always had a stiff paywall, and they've managed to achieve the twin milestones of gaining more revenue from readers than advertisers and more from digital than print, which I find interesting as well.
Yeah, and you're very engaged in, I think, digital platforms, Jasmine.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What do you think of the idea of paywalls or subscription-only services online? We hear so much about the internet being this open market of ideas, free exchange of ideas. It looks for some places to survive, for some sites to survive. You need those subscriptions or you need those paywalls up there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we just passed around an article about a Cincinnati TV station putting up a paywall for the first time, for so people visiting their website would have to pay to access it and access that content. I think there is going to be a backlash initially, and I honestly don't know where it's going to go, but I can see a lot of people being turned off by that and going to their competitors if those competitors are free, and right now they are, you know. So I see that could be a problem. It really is going to have to take all the other competing stations and other TV stations to start picking that up. If they don't, that station's probably not going to end up doing very well for web views and that kind of thing.
I think paywalls have always been really controversial. And I know with my own old paper, the State Journal Register in Springfield, when we first started a website, the editors did not want to give away the stories. Mm-hmm. And I remember my editor saying to me, and I've probably mentioned this before, you know, you don't go into a shoe store and expect to get a pair of shoes for free. You know, why should you get our stories for free? And so initially the State Journal Register, had a paywall. Then they went to totally free website. Now they have a paywall again.
Hmm.
Or like after a certain number of stories, it's like a partial paywall. So news organizations are still trying to figure out what balance they need.
It is. It's still evolving. You know, to take the shoe store example there, you also don't expect to pay just to walk into the news store and take a look around.
True.
To see what's in there.
True.
Mm-hmm. And you may or may not walk away with something that you like. So there's that too. Of course, we're not talking about a shoe store. We're talking about information available on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And where does it go from here? I mean, we've seen it going back and forth, I think, with paywalls and whether they, like you say, Jasmine, you got to get everybody in a market to buy in for it to really work, I think, in a market.
Oh, I think so. An entire market would have to buy into that concept. So people would be okay with it. They would adapt to it. And Lisa just talked about where you can visit a site and you can have so many free stories. I think that's a really good model where people can try on maybe the shoes that we're talking about and see if they like them. So, you know, they see if they like the stories, see if they like the writers, see if they like the content. I think that's a really good model for any type of news organization.
But the TV station you mentioned, I find interesting because I would assume that the TV station is getting most of its income from
advertisements
and its broadcasts anyway, and a small part from its website.
Yeah.
But maybe that's changing. Maybe its online audience is growing just like for newspapers.
I do know that the online audience is where they're acquiring more. I mean, they're getting more of the revenue now. They're always trying to come up with more ways of making money. I don't know if it's going to be a feasible idea to get people to actually pay for that product. We'll have to see how that goes. And I have a feeling we'll be watching it.
All right. I see we have run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.